Canada's Justin Trudeau looks set to remain Prime Minister, but without a parliamentary majority. Early results from the general election indicate his Liberal Party is ahead of the main opposition Conservatives. Someone who's been following this election very closely is Dr. Matthew Kirby, Senior Lecturer in Politics and International Relations at the ANU. Dr. Kirby, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Do you reckon the Liberals can still squeak out a majority? What's your take of where things are at?
Well, actually, I can tell you right now that the Liberals they haven't squeaked out a majority. They're going to squeak out the minority government. There's no way they can get the majority now.
So they can't get to majority. What does that mean for them?
Well, it doesn't mean that much. I mean, this has happened before, but it does mean that they're going to have to rely on the will of Parliament to push through any type of policy agendas that they might want to get through in the next Parliament. Though this means most likely is that they're going to be relying on the leftist New Democratic Party to prop themselves up to ensure that they can get a majority of the votes in the House of Commons to pass legislation.
At the last election in 2015, Justin Trudeau was, you know, the golden boy. His party won nearly double the number of seats the Conservatives did. What's happened?
Well, I mean, part of the problem is, of course, just a change in the Canadian landscape. I mean, these things happen. I mean, all parties have, you know, life expectancy. But in the case of the Liberals, Justin Trudeau's sunny days, as he proclaimed them, has just not had the staying power. This is in part due to a number of international events, but also domestic events within Canada, where maybe some of the halo that Justin Trudeau had upon being elected has been tarnished, particularly going into this election. This would be a halo that reflects, you know, some of his policies regarding the environment, and then, of course, just his own personal brand as well.
There was talk that if he couldn't get a majority, there might be implications for his own leadership in his party. Is that still a live issue?
No, I don't think so. I think there's, you know, the minority will be enough to keep him as the leader of the party. They will certainly be asking questions as to what went wrong, that they went from their majority down to the minority. But I think Justin Trudeau's position as the leader of the party is very secure.
2 months ago, Canada's ethics commissioner said Justin Trudeau had violated ethics rules when he tried to pressure his former attorney general to drop criminal charges against a company. Was that a really definitive issue in this campaign?
It was an issue insofar as it did play out, particularly in the province of Quebec, where the sort of the locus of this particular scandal took place. And I think one of the things that you saw was the resurgence of the Bloc Québécois, a separatist party in Quebec, where their numbers increased quite dramatically from only 10 seats up to 32 seats. Although the separatist agenda is definitely on the down low at the moment, I think what's happening now is the Bloc Québécois' popularity in Quebec again has just been a means to express Quebecers' assertiveness vis-a-vis the federal government led by Justin Trudeau.
And last month, of course, old photos emerged showing Justin Trudeau in blackface and brownface. And in fact, it wasn't just one photo. That was why it was a problem for him. They kept coming out, it seemed. How much do you think that affected his image? You know, he was seen as a golden boy, quite a liberal, and yet he had this past.
Yeah, it certainly affected his image, but I don't think it had that much of an impact as far as how the election has played out. You know, he's not going to be able to present himself as this kind of cosmopolitan metrosexual leader anymore because of that. But at the same time, the long-term effects as far as the political consequences, I think, were pretty limited. People who were voting for the Liberals, who, upon being exposed to this particular scandal, I don't think they really went and said that they were going to vote for another party, and other parties didn't suddenly say they were going to vote for Justin Trudeau because he appeared in blackface. I think that the scandal was very damaging to his brand, but I don't think it was damaging to the party itself.
What were the key issues then for voters then in this election?
Well, the key issues were really about, the key issues that typically exist in any election. So you have the state of the economy, which in this case, the Canadian economy is actually running fairly stably. You know, unemployment is down, GDP per capita is up a little bit. So there was no big economic disasters that would prompt voters to say, we need to change the government because I have less money in my pocketbook or something like that. But some of the things that came up really had to do with identity. Of course, Canada's relationship to refugees and immigration, the role of Quebec to a lesser degree insofar as it's been reflected by the surge in support for the Bloc Québécois, as well as environmental and energy policy. Those would be the main issues, I think, that were dominating this election.
And the former Attorney General Jody Wilson-Raybould resigned and stood as independent in this election. What happened
there?
Yeah,
she won her seat.
She won a seat?
Yeah, she won her seat. Yep. No, she got in as an independent in a constituency in Vancouver. So she is back in, which is actually quite interesting because typically independents in Canadian politics fare very poorly in elections, and especially ex-cabinet ministers, when they run after they've been demoted out of cabinet, generally there is an electoral consequence to their exit. So, Jody has bucked the trend, so to speak, as far as winning her seat in Vancouver as an independent. That was unexpected. I certainly didn't think that she would win, but kudos to her for getting through.
And a party devoted in Quebec to nationalism appears to be doing well in that province.
Yeah, the Bloc Québécois has done incredibly well. In fact, I think that's going to be one of the big stories of this election. But in the case of the Bloc Québécois, whereas, you know, this was the party that, you know, led Quebec federally to the 1995 referendum, the party now, the sovereignty agenda or the sovereignty issue for Quebec separation is really not a prominent issue. I think the Bloc Québécois' popularity in Quebec reflects more of a desire by Quebecers to assert themselves more, particularly in the face of a lot of criticism that Quebec has received over the last 4 years, particularly with respect to being ignored on its preferences about the environment. And then it's also introduced a radical secular agenda in terms of the display of religious icons in public, which has attracted quite a bit of controversy in the rest of the country. And so I think what Quebecers are doing here is, what Quebecers often do is that in the face of challenges to their identity and their uniqueness and things like that, they basically put in a rampart, a block, if you like, to stand up and have a voice at the federal level.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and explaining this election to us.
My pleasure. It's my pleasure to be there.
That's Dr. Matthew Kirby. He's a senior lecturer in politics and international relations at the ANU, and this is RN Drive.